Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rockets are in action tonight. Second leg of a doubleheader. They'll be in Utah against the Jazz. A Rockets team that's playing this tough back-to-back, toughest back-to-back in the league. Denver, Utah, back-to-back days. And Rockets look like they're going to be without James Harden tonight.
Yeah, look, no Harden. It wasn't a bad look last week with our without James Harden. I was actually anxious to see the game and watch the game with Westbrook handling the rock, him being the predominant ball handler. I thought it was a good look. I thought they were fighting through some battles. PJ Tucker didn't shoot the ball well. Gordon didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Capella was doing Capella things, rebounding, and I don't know about the scoring aspect of things, but
he's not asked to score though.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. But I'm not going to beat that dead horse today. We got bigger and better things to talk about. But when it's all said and done, I don't know if it's been officially announced or not, but I believe that Westbrook and Harden are both out, so it could be a tough one for Utah.
I can't find the news on Russell Westbrook, but I'm pretty sure James Harden was listed as questionable earlier, but I saw that he was unlikely to play.
They said that neither one of them. Yesterday on the broadcast of the Rockets, they said that neither one of those guys are playing today.
Russell hasn't played a back-to-back all year. I was wondering if things might change because James Harden's also going to be out. I wouldn't play either one of them, to be honest with you. Like, I know every game of 82 matters for the Houston Rockets, but I'm not going to play my superstar whenever he's questionable and he's dealing with an injury. I'm going to sit him. That's what I do during the regular season. I sit my stars. They need to be 100% come postseason time. And Russell Westbrook hadn't played a second leg of a back-to-back all year. I'm not starting now just because James is hurt. I would tank today's game.
I don't know about tanking, but
I wouldn't play a single. I wouldn't play Westbrook. I mean, you're going to try to win with your other guys, but I'm sitting Harden. I'm sitting Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I don't care what the situation is this time of year, if Harden is at all beat up, then he's not playing. And if you had planned all along to sit Westbrook, then you move forward accordingly. You don't change those plans. But this is a Rockets team that if they're shooting it well, they can give themselves a chance in the fourth quarter. We always talk about this supporting cast. You talk about P.J. Tucker's ability to pull the trigger from the corner. You talk about Eric Gordon's ability to shoot it. Ben McLemore is really come a long way this season. He shot it well yesterday afternoon. And so you've got some guys in there that they need to have big nights if the Rockets are going to have a chance to win this thing in the fourth quarter. But it's not beyond their ability to go out there and have a good night tonight and put a good product on the floor.
Super Bowl week, Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers. I'm excited for that game on Sunday. I'm not a huge fan of like the actual Super Bowl week. All these people asking these football players really random questions that I have no interest in knowing. But I am really excited for this game. You have two offensive, in my mind, geniuses with Andy Reid in the passing game. Kyle Shanahan, I find to be an offensive genius. Have loved him ever since he was a Texans assistant. Really loved him in 2016 when he was the OC with the Atlanta Falcons. Sunday's game, if you're an offensive fan of football, you're going to like the Super Bowl with Shanahan and Reid kind of exchanging wits a bit.
Yeah, look, I read an article this morning about Andy Reid, and it was Peter King actually did a really cool piece on Andy Reid. And the closer we get to this game, man, the more I hope and the more I'm pulling for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because of Reid?
Yeah, because of Andy Reid, man.
I'm good with that.
Can't help but like the big jolly fella. And then I'd like
to have a cheeseburger with Andy Reid.
Yeah, I'd like to have a cheeseburger and a beer with Andy Reid. But look, But when you're talking about godly breaking news, would I say something wrong?
No cheeseburgers for Andy Reid.
Right.
Breaking news, Andy Reid had a cheeseburger for lunch.
Yeah. I don't know. The article this morning was the article that I read broke down him being fired, the McNabb issue in Philly, then him being fired, then the Alex Smith being replaced by my mind just went blank.
Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes, and then to this point, you know, the Pat Mahomes becoming who he is, and the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I would just like to see the big fella win one, man. I like Pat Mahomes. I'd like to see him win one. But all in all, I'm leaning towards Andy Reid. It's been at this thing for a long time. I think there's a lot of doubters out there. You're talking about a guy that can cement his place in history. He's already a top 10 in wins coach in the NFL. A Super Bowl would catapult him to a different level and really solidify a hell of a career, probably a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. I want to see a good game. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm not rooting for one team over the other. I'm rooting for a good game because I want to be entertained on Super Sunday. That's all I ask for. Sports are my entertainment. Elsewhere, Mike Fiers talked for the first time on Friday about the allegation. Oh, I guess I got to stop calling it allegations. I'm still stuck calling it allegations. They're guilty. The Major League Baseball said that they are guilty. They did cheat in 2017 and part of 2018 until the Astros found out that it wasn't effective, and they stopped cheating in 2018. Anyways, Mike Fiers, we know he's the one who leaked the information to The Athletic. The Athletic story broke out, turned into an MLB investigation that found the Astros guilty of cheating. Well, Mike Fiers, first time he had the availability to speak to the media, that was on Friday. I saw a note, a tweet from an Oakland Athletic beat reporter that said Mike Fiers will speak tonight at 7 or 8 o'clock. Can't remember what it was. And I said, all right, that sounds great. I'm going to watch that. And then Mike Fiers disappointed by saying, I'm not going to talk about that. No comment. I'm only going to speak about baseball-related questions.
Yeah, and here's that audio of Mike Fiers' response.
For that story, did you sort of take a deep breath knowing that a lot of scrutiny and attention was coming, or has this taken you by surprise to some extent?
And listen, I appreciate the question. I'm not talking about that right now. I'll talk about baseball, talk about, you know, my team moving forward, but right now just trying to focus on, you know, this team and not that.
Mike Fiers has backed himself into a corner, right? Uh-huh. I mean, when you become the rat and you first spoke to The Athletic about what was going on in Houston and your experience in Houston, and you essentially lit this flame that's turned into a big-time bonfire in Houston and other places. As you mentioned earlier, four guys have lost their jobs over this situation, this investigation, these findings. I don't care what side each individual, all the fans, I don't care what side you rest on. The one thing that I think is blatantly obvious and is the fact that Mike Fiers, you can't plead the fifth. You can't ask for just baseball questions, right? You're backed into a corner. You've taken a stand. The one thing you've got to do is own it. You've got to answer the bell. And the fact that you're cowering down behind the questions following what's gone on over the last 2 and 3 months is mind-blowing. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, when it's all said and done, I believe Mike Fiers will not be in Major League Baseball beyond his contract in Oakland. I don't believe at any level in any sport that an organization is going to willingly bring someone into their clubhouse and risk, when he's done, that person going to the media and leaking what went on a daily basis in an organization. I believe all organizations, college football, all the professional sports, I believe they push the envelope. I really do. I believe that they push the envelope across the board, and there's no room in an organization for a guy like Mike Fiers. I believe this could get a lot worse for him than he may have initially thought it would be.
Yeah, it'd be surprising to me. I want to see the season Mike Fiers has. Like, if Mike Fiers goes out and pitches really well, it'd be interesting to see what happens to him after next season. Like, if he has a mediocre season, I can see him immediately getting kind of, I don't want to use the word blackballed from baseball, but where to no one in Major League Baseball wants to pick up Mike Fiers. Nobo's tweeting us at 713-572-4610. The tweet line is speaking, as you like to say. Baseball Players Union isn't what you guys think it is. He cannot speak, referring to Mike Fiers. Totally disagree. I mean, what did Dallas Keuchel say the other day? Dallas Keuchel was very open about what was going on. He said, I'm not going to go into specifics, but he said, I'm sorry. You know, baseball is what it is. He alluded to six of the eight teams in the Major League playoffs in 2017, stealing signs. We've seen, look at Trevor Bauer. Like, go look at Trevor Bauer's Twitter, and you'll see that he talks about what goes on quite a bit.
JB, with Mike Fiers, I don't even care if he goes, hey, guys, I can't talk about this right now because there's an ongoing investigation. I stand behind what I said, and we're going to move forward in with that in mind. I cannot speak about it right now. It's against, you know, the Major League Baseball Players Association, the union, whatever it's called. I can't speak. He lost eye contact, right? He speaks in a tone of it's a bad look, man. You can't do it. You can't be a rat. And then on the flip side of it, say you have no comment. It just don't work like that. And you can, don't give me the union won't let them speak, because that clearly isn't the case. There's some guys out there right now that have no problem speaking about it.
Nobu also says, you guys going to hammer Altuve when he doesn't answer cheating questions? I'm going to respond to that next. If you want to call in as well, you can. 713-572-4610. Here's Hubie Brown, longtime NBA man, speaking about Kobe Bryant after the news yesterday that Kobe Bryant passing away in a helicopter crash.
Well, today is the saddest day in my basketball career. There's no doubt about it. We're talking about a physical force as a teenager that came into this league with a passion for the game, seldom seen. He never took a backseat to anyone in work ethic. And then the fact that when you talk about name the greatest two-way players in the history of this game, he's right at the top of the list. The love that's being expressed in this building and around the world was due because he had such an incredible career.
Love listening to Hubie Brown speak. That was Hubie Brown talking about Kobe Bryant yesterday. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. You're going to be joined by 8-year NBA pro Ronnie Brewer. Ronnie had the assignment a lot of nights on having to try to lock down Kobe Bryant. Probably didn't lock him down too often. Going to ask Ronnie Brewer about some of those moments. Also, how he responded to the news of Kobe Bryant and 8 others passing away in the helicopter crash yesterday in California. That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Bryant going to the basket. Kobe Bryant!
There it is!
A 50-point game in his farewell. Final minute 30. Bryant from 14 has 53! Unbelievable stuff tonight. The Lakers down 1. Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant on the move with the jumper. He got it! 58 points! And the Lakers lead!
Kobe Bryant would finish with 60 points in his farewell game, the highest point total for anybody playing their final game of their career. I remember watching that live, and you saw history as you were watching that with Kobe Bryant, as you often did. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, joining us now, Ronnie Brewer, 8-year pro. On a lot of nights, he had the assignment of defending Kobe Bryant. Ronnie, how did you see the news yesterday? How did you take the news when you first heard it?
Well, currently I'm a basketball coach in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So we came in yesterday for a prep practice for this upcoming week. And right before we started practice, I started getting notifications, and then my former teammate started hitting me up, and then the news broke, and then some media outlets from here and from teams I played on started hitting me up. And, you know, yesterday I was kind of at a loss for words, and you know, I think I was in shock kind of like the rest of the world, and had to process it a little bit, and, you know, and then as I processed it, you know, started, you know, I have a child, a young daughter, and just thinking of her and thinking about, you know, Kobe and his daughter and, you know, the other people that were on the helicopter and the family members that were affected by it, you know, it just broke my heart. And, you know, I instantly said a prayer, and we had a huge practice planned, you know, and, you know, we had a guest speaker come in, Nolan Richardson, who's in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, he gave a great speech, you know, about Kobe and his experience meeting him. And we kind of ended it on that note. And, you know, everybody got to go home. And I think we told everybody to go home and pull up some YouTube clips and to experience the greatness. And sometimes it stinks, but you don't really give people you know, the dudes there, they earn when they're here, and until they're gone, it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, who's the greatest person, him, Kobe, or LeBron, and instead of just taking a step back and be able to witness greatness, the people who are alive and able to see it, we got to view greatness. I got to see that up close and personal, which unfortunately, you know, he used me a lot of times in the game, but, you know, just be able to sit back and look at his body of work and how great of his person he is and what he did off the court and on the court is just phenomenal, and it's heartbreaking just to be able to, you know, process the whole thing and just think about it today.
Ronnie, what did you? I want to get to some of the experiences with you actually on the floor with Kobe, man. And I think that's really cool. But before we go there, man, immediately yesterday you were at practice, so you didn't see a lot of it. But the coverage media wise was hit or miss early, as I think everything is that way now in 2020, unfortunately. But you know, there was word that the NBA may cancel basketball games. They did end up doing that. What was your thoughts on how they handled the games that were already on the schedule yesterday?
I think they handled it really, really well, man. Just the NBA, as you know, is the NFL and NCAA sports. It's such a tight, close-knit group. I mean, you're basically like family because you spend so much time together. You know people's kids. You know people's wives. You spend a lot of holidays together, traveling or together, because you have games either that day or the day before or after a holiday. So you're really close to these people. And you know, hearing the news was just crazy. And, you know, instantly I just thought, you know, man, like, he's not going to be there anymore, more for his family. You know, I know people were sad in the NBA because, you know, what he represents. And the relationships a lot of guys have with them. But, you know, I think it was awesome that a lot of people honored him. You know, some people wore his jersey, changed their jersey number. A lot of teams, you know, had a 24-second violation and then a 8-second backcourt for his two jersey numbers that he represented. And, you know, it was a lot of tears shed across the country, across the world, a lot of flowers that were put at the Staples Center. And it was awesome to see how it brought kind of the sporting world and the basketball world and entertainers and true fans together for one moment. You know how people are, the rivalry between the Clippers and the Lakers and the Warriors and the Celtics and the Bulls and all the things like that. And everybody, no matter what team you are fans of, came together as one and, you know, mourned the loss of a true legend in Kobe Bryant.
Ronnie Brewer is our guest, 8-year pro in the NBA, spent part of his season with the Houston Rockets as well. Many nights had to defend Kobe Bryant. Ronnie, tell us some of those moments when you were going up against Kobe. He was on the other side. What did you appreciate about him as a competitor?
His competitiveness is unreal. You know, my rookie year, I'm an Arkansas guy, went to Arkansas. My rookie year, Derek Fisher was on our team. He was coming from the Warriors and was playing on the Jazz. Made it to the conference finals, and, you know, that was a phenomenal experience. You know, we lost to the Spurs, who went on for a championship. And then the next year, the following year, we just couldn't get over the hump playing against Kobe Bryant. And I remember so many times in the film room trying to study and dissect his game, what his strengths and his weaknesses is. And as I watched tape more and more and more, it wasn't many weaknesses at all. He could score multifaceted on different levels, three-pointer, mid-range, and get to the back. He could post up on either post. And a lot of times I was on the losing part of that on that film clip where I was playing the best defense I possibly could, and he'd give me four or five pump fakes, spin move, and fade away, and hit his patented shot, his fadeaway jump shot. And I probably couldn't have played better defense, but, you know, he just had better offense that night. And, you know, I think he has clips like that of almost every different player that played in the NBA, and that shows how great he was. No matter how big the stage was, he always rose to the occasion. He performed, and, you know, all I could do was go out there and play hard. You know, we met him in the conference finals a couple of times. You know, we had some crazy battles when I was with the Bulls, the number one team in the East, and we didn't think that anybody could beat us. And, you know, Kobe Bryant would come close and having huge games where he was busting out for 30, 40, 50 points. You know, and we knew he was capable of it because in a game he scored 81 points a game. So you had to be on your P's and Q's, and you couldn't ever relax and take him for granted because he could, you know, score points at a high level. But he was – people don't really give him the respect that not only did he score at a high level and took passion and his preparation and his determination to get better year in, year out and never have a drop ball, but he was defending on the defensive end. He wanted to guard the best player night in, night out. If it's a point guard, shooting guard, a small forward, Kobe wanted to match up and win that matchup. And that's how much of a competitor he was. And that's what you always respected about his game, that he played it on both ends, night in, night out, for a long, long time.
That's Ronnie Brewer, former NBA, 8-year NBA pro. Ronnie, what about these Rockets, man? We're obviously in Houston, man. You spent a brief part of your career here. Man, I want to ask you particularly about, I said this last week, like I feel like the Rockets have spent a lot of time, effort, and monies in building a team that could compete with and possibly dethrone the monster in the West in Golden State. And now you look up and Golden State no longer is, and the West has totally changed shape. I mean, how do you think the Rockets stack up, even when they're healthy? Not right now, obviously they're banged up, but when they're healthy, how do you feel like the Rockets stack up against the rest of the West?
I think they stacked up pretty well. I mean, you got James Harden, who could potentially be the MVP this year. He should have been it last year. He's almost averaging – I mean, he can score at so many levels. A lot of people think negative of his game because he dribbles the ball that much, but he worked at it so hard. He deserves to be able to shoot whatever shot he wants to because he thinks it's going in every single time he puts up a shot at him. And you got Russell Westbrook's, you know, will to win. He's out there getting his teammates involved. He's scoring at a high level. He's rebounding at a high level. It's really, really, really hard to come up with a game plan to stop those guys on the offensive end. And they facilitate for their teammates so well that the other guys just have to be in the right position at the right time to kind of maximize what they can do on the court. I think when it gets to the playoffs, it's so much focus and you're under a microscope because you play the same team multiple times, and you know you're playing against some of the best players in the world and the best coaches, so they make adjustments. I think it comes down to how you defend in the playoffs. So if the Rockets can find a way to defend at a high level as well as they are playing offensively, I think they can make a long, hard push in the playoffs and potentially dethrone somebody in the West.
What do you think about the style they play, Ronnie? Very analytical three-pointer over two-pointer, shots behind the three-point line and the paint or at the free throw line. What do you think of that style of play, the analytics that they like to use?
I think, you know, when you look at it and somebody breaks it down to you, you know, an old-school basketball player is going to be like, no way, you're going to dump the ball inside. You play inside out. You got to make them stop inside. Well, you know, if you're a mathematician, you know, obviously 3 points are better than two. And then you throw in percentages. But, you know, if you have somebody like James Harden who's scoring in a high percentile from behind the arc and he's going downhill and getting to the basket and then he's getting fouled and going to the free throw line and shooting, you know, 97 for the free throw line, and then you come with a game plan to stop him and he could swing the ball to Russell Westbrook, who's doing the same exact thing, that's hard to prepare as a coach. Especially it's hard to guard it defensively. And then you have other guys who come in and contribute as well. That's the ingredients for a long night. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to whether they play because it's been working. People are saying that, oh, if that hadn't been working enough because that won a world championship. But you've got to get it time. When the Warriors first got together, they didn't come out and win a championship off the first year. You know, they developed Steph, they developed Clay, Draymond. They brought in Iguodala. They brought in multiple pieces to make them the team who they are. And then they added KD to push them over that hump to make sure that they were the monster they were. Same thing with the Lakers. The Lakers are not the same team as they were last year. They added some pieces to make them better. I think that's what the Rockets are doing. And I think teams are going to have to adjust to what they do and their style of play for them to be competitive.
Ronnie, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road, all right?
All right. Hey, thank you all for having me.
You got it. Ronnie Brewer, 8-year pro in the NBA, spent a little time with the Houston Rockets and went toe-to-toe with Kobe Bryant. Mike D'Antoni, you might remember, coached Kobe Bryant whenever he was in L.A. Here was Mike D'Antoni yesterday after the news.
Yeah, no, it was pretty somber. It was before the game, you know, with that devastating news. It just, it shook guys a lot. You know, obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and Vanessa and the kids, and just an unbelievable tragedy.
Your own thoughts of having,
I mean, it's just like with everybody. He's one of the greatest players ever, an unbelievable competitor. Earned everything, every accolade he got, he earned. And he just kept coming at you, and there won't be many like him, that's for sure.
Rocket coach Mike D'Antoni, who spent some time in L.A. with Kobe Bryant. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. We'll dive into the Mamba mentality and also Kobe Bryant as a father. That's next on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610.
Ball knocked away by Bryant. Here he goes down the other end. Puts it in. Lakers by four.
You need a play. Season on the line. Kobe Bryant comes up with the steal, deflects the basketball. Mamba, there goes that man. Bryant finishes at the rim.
That's your guy. He should have said, Mamba, there goes that man. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Oh, he did say that. I thought he said, Mamba, there goes that man, like his normal line. All right, I stand corrected. Mark Jackson, very well done. You just went up a little bit in my book. One of the things that you'll look back, I think, whenever you look at Kobe Bryant, we spent a lot of time today discussing Kobe Bryant, one of nine that passed away in the helicopter crash yesterday in California. Kobe Bryant, his young daughter, Gigi Bryant, just devastating news. To me, it affects me more as a husband and a father. The Altobelli family, John Altobelli, his wife Carrie, daughter Alyssa, John, a former Houston Cougar baseball captain, spent a little bit of time as an assistant coach there as well. Christina Mauser, the coach of the Mamba team that was going out to catch a game on this helicopter. Shara Chester, her daughter Peyton, and then Ara Zabayan, the pilot. Our thoughts and prayers to everybody affected in this tragedy yesterday. Of course, Kobe Bryant, the big name. And we're Sports Talk Radio, and Kobe Bryant doing what he did for such a long time on the basketball floor, such an all-time great. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier with Tim Bontemps, and he talked about where Kobe Bryant fits in the all-time greats. That's a conversation for another day. He's an all-time great. Where does he rank? We'll discuss that later. But one of the things we'll look back on is the competitiveness and the Mamba mentality of Kobe Bryant. Here's a little look back at that Mamba mentality that Kobe Bryant possessed.
When I play against somebody and we line up and you're guarding me, my whole purpose was to get you to reconsider your life choice to play basketball, right? So at the end of the day, you'd be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me, you know? And that was my mentality going into every single game, is just to absolutely obliterate this guy. You know, the fact of the matter is I'm still trying to get better. So if I'm playing against a weaker opponent and, you know, I start coasting, I'm building nothing but bad habits myself. You know, if you want to play at an excellent level, if you want to do something excellent, you have to be excellent all the time. It's a way of life. It's not just I show up on Monday and be excellent. No, it don't work that way. Right? You got to be excellent across the board. Right? And that's how you build habits. When excellence becomes a habit, then that's just who you are. Right? So it doesn't matter if I was playing a game in Memphis or, you know, Sacramento, and you're playing against, you know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, you're going to get the same result.
I think we can all have a little bit of the Mamba mentality in us. I love what he said at the beginning of that clip. Reconsider your life choice to play basketball. Talk about the cerebral assassin inside of Kobe Bryant, that his job on the floor, what his goal was each and every night, was for the guy defending him to reconsider your life choice to play basketball.
Look, man, the most competitive player in sports, when I talk about competing like no other, that's Kobe Bryant. We all saw it. Unfolding on the basketball floor for 20 straight years. We were in the process of watching it unfold in the business world, in the TV world, and we have now get a very, very, detailed glimpse into that same mentality, that same Mamba mentality, that competitive player of Kobe Bryant being – I guess being unfold as a father in front of us as well. I just think it's one thing. He was always, until yesterday, he was the guy that was the most competitive on the floor, and he was using those same techniques and that same approach to business. And after yesterday, the tragedy yesterday, you see that he was attributing those same things that made him great on the floor to being a father. And it's remarkable. It's unfortunate and sad that we got to find out in this way. But what an amazing player, what an amazing businessman, what an amazing father. It's all about his competitive drive.
Yeah. And then I think that's one of the things too, like whenever we look at Kobe Bryant, we played the clips earlier of Christina Mauser's husband, and we saw the human element of Kobe Bryant. Look, Kobe Bryant, like all of us, was not perfect. Kobe Bryant had some issues that came up in his basketball career. He had the issues in Denver with that girl. I think she was a waitress, and all of that got settled out of court. But look, Kobe Bryant had issues off the floor like the rest of us have issues in our life, and it shows you that he's not perfect. He's not invincible, kind of like we saw yesterday. But that's a story you have to tell when you look back at the life of Kobe Bryant. But to me, that shows that he is human like everybody else. He had those relationships with common people like everybody else. He's sharing a helicopter ride with folks that are like us, everybody, just average Joes hanging out with Kobe Bryant, and it shows you the human element he had. I think Kobe Bryant, in the second half of his life, after all of that stuff happened, he kind of looked at himself in the mirror and said, I need to be better. I need more of that Mamba mentality. I have to create the habits of excellence of being a good husband, being a good father. And I think that's when we started to see Kobe as a father really excel. Whenever he had his kids, Gigi Bryant was the oldest. And he talked about how much of a daddy's girl that Gigi was. And of course, she had the love of basketball. She wanted to follow in his footsteps. Kobe Bryant talked about this as well with Jimmy Kimmel, his legacy of being a father.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does for sure.
She does?
This kid, man.
She's that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oi. I got this. You know, boy, for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
Second oldest was Gigi Bryant. I beg your pardon on that. And that's something that's what hits hard. Is like you had a 13-year-old daughter that passed away in this helicopter ride. You had two other 13-year-old kids that were teammates of Gigi Bryant. And that's what the biggest struggle that I've had with this. Yes, I mean, losing the basketball player as a sports fan, as being a sports talk host on a sports radio station, is something we talk about and have to talk about. But looking at the human element of it, Vanessa Bryant lost one of her daughters yesterday, lost the husband. You had the other three Bryant kids lose their father, lose their sister, and all of these other families were severely affected as well. Like, the family aspect of it is where it really hits hard for me. Like, losing the basketball player, yes, that's also devastating. But the family aspect, when you try to kind of envision that scenario with you being in the shoes of Kobe Bryant or the Altobelli family or the Chester family, that's where it really hits home to me, and it starts to really, really feel the grief that these families must be going through.
Yeah, look, I couldn't imagine. I mentioned it earlier in the show, man. I lost a brother about 3 years ago to cancer, and it was a long process where he fought, and you could somewhat wrap your mind around the possibility of losing a loved one, and that didn't mean it wasn't hard, but you could wrap your mind around losing a loved one possibly. I just don't know that I can relate and even wrap my head around losing a loved one in the blink of an eye. They leave to go to a basketball game or a basketball practice, and in the blink of an eye, not only have you lost your husband and your father, but you've lost your daughter and your sister. Look, it's a tough day, man. Life is hard to understand a lot of times, and this is one of those moments.
I think one thing to take of it, too, is like putting all this together, the Mamba mentality. Like, yep. you tell your loved ones you love them a little bit more, you know? Tell them, yep. Let them know often, because you can't take every day for granted. I mean, it could be gone just as quickly as we saw what happened yesterday. You should always be in that spot where you're telling, you know, your loved ones each and every day how much you love them, because you never know when it's going to be the last day. I saw Kendrick Perkins. We talked to Perk last week, and yep. Of course, he had that beef with Kevin Durant not that long ago, saying that Russell Westbrook was the best Oklahoma City Thunder player, and Durant went back at him on Twitter. I saw Perkins send a tweet to Kevin Durant saying, you know what, all that beef we had, whatever, my bad. I love you. I love you, Kevin Durant. I want you to know that. And I thought that's cool. Like, I mean, sometimes tragedy brings us closer together. Mark Cuban tweeted about it earlier today. He said, we've never been more unified as a country in recent memory. because of the tragedy that happened yesterday. I think that's one positive you can take out of this. Hey, we never want anybody to lose their lives. But, yes, maybe we are a little more unified today, and maybe that's something we can take forward.
Yeah, no, there ain't no maybe to it. I mean, it's the truth of the matter. I mean, I think it's human nature for us to go about our lives and not always express our feelings or communicate with loved ones. And so in times like this, obviously those things are highlighted, and they're on everybody's heart and they're on everybody's mind. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it takes something like this to spark that urge and that want to, and that the desire to make the effort to extend a hand or some kind words. But it is some good that you can pull from it. In reality, though, I hate to keep referring to my past, but when I lost my brother, it changed the game. You know, I mean, to the point where I moved back here because of it, and I'd missed so much with family. It definitely changes the game, and the closer to home it hits, the more it changes the game. And Kobe Bryant, with his reach, again, being a monster on the floor, and in the business world, and clearly as we're seeing now in fatherhood as well, I think it's on everybody's mind coast to coast right now.
What about ways that the league can react? We've seen some we've seen some thoughts about that. The Lakers and Clippers canceled their game tomorrow, so there's the league reacting in one way that the grief going on in LA, too much to have that game tomorrow. It's been postponed, will be rescheduled. I'm sure we'll see a lot of teams, you know, doing something to honor Kobe Bryant. The Mavs are retiring the number 24. Nobody else can wear the number 24 in Dallas Maverick franchise history. So it's going to be interesting to see how else the league reacts.
Yeah, I saw several things on social media. Obviously, two of the coolest ones that I saw, actually one of them was a response to exactly what you just mentioned, retiring 24 league wide. You know, I don't know what the all the red tape to get that done would be. But if anybody's worthy of it, it would be Kobe Bryant. I mean, you know, I heard, who did I hear earlier on? Was it, I don't remember if it was Mo Taylor or if it was John Lucas on In the Loop, but one of them said that the only three MVP, I think the league, the NBA has only lost three MVPs
like that are at this point away?
That have passed away.
Really?
And Kobe was one of them. Moses Malone and Will.
No longer with us.
And Will.
And Wilt's no longer with us.
Those three.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. And so he may, I didn't fact check that. I just remember him saying it, and I thought, wow, man. So that to me, that changes the game. You know, you lose a guy like this, again, in the blink of an eye, golly, right in the prime of his career, essentially. And he was the NBA. You know, I mean, he was a especially when you talk about the players that are playing right now, how all of them grew up loving Kobe and looking up to Kobe. So I think the retire the 24 league-wide would be a really, really cool gesture. It'd be a strong gesture.
You know why I don't want to see that?
Why is that?
I think it'd be really cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be really cool. We're getting a call from Beverly Hills, California, B-back, if you want to answer that. That'd be kind of cool. I want like, players love Kobe. Like, young guys that are coming up, the high school ranks, the college ranks, they idolize Kobe Bryant. And a lot of folks wear the number 24 because of Kobe Bryant. And, like, it's cool to retire the number league-wide to pay your respects to Kobe Bryant. But I think it'd be even cooler for players to wear the number 24 to pay, you know, their respects to Kobe Bryant that way.
I can see that. I can see that. Let's retire 24 and they can wear 8. How about that?
Yeah. I'd tell you,
another one that I saw that I thought was really cool was wearing number 8, like one of the all-star teams this year, they all wear number 8. And then the other all-star team, they all wear number 24.
I saw that idea, NBA too. All-Star. I like that idea. I don't care who. I don't care if it's the East or the West. But
yeah,
one side
matter.
Wear 8, the other side wear 24. I don't even know if they do East and West anymore. I think they have the captains where they pick their teams. But whatever. One team wear 8, one team wear 24. That'd be cool. I saw the idea floated out there to change the logo. To change it from Jerry West, traditional one-leg up dribble.
They may be getting a little aggressive now.
I don't know how I feel about the changing the logo from Jerry West to Kobe Bryant.
That may be getting a little aggressive there. I don't know about changing logos.
They also had the idea of naming the MVP after Kobe Bryant, which I think might be a little bit aggressive too. Kobe Bryant, great player. Only won one MVP, if you can believe that. Only won one MVP in his entire career. Let's take this call. 713-572-4610. It comes from James. James, what's up?
How's it going?
Great. What's up, James?
Nothing much. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I just wanted to say how impactful Kobe was to the world of basketball. It is reminiscent and similar of how Bruce Lee was to the world of martial arts and dying at a young age.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it. I didn't really know Bruce Lee that much whenever he passed away. But you had somebody in the highlight of their life, their prime of their life, and then, you know, what they meant to the sport, and Bruce Lee certainly meant that for martial arts.
Yeah, I wasn't that familiar with Bruce Lee either, behind this tragedy is JFK-esque. This is Tupac-esque. This is Biggie-esque. This is Michael Jackson. I mean, this is the shock behind it. I think the worldly shock around the world, not just in the United States. I read something earlier where they made the point that Kobe was more popular than Yao Ming on an international scale. Huh. This is big, man. It's when you talk about celebrities, not just athletes, but celebrities in general leaving us too early. This one ranks right up there with the most popular are the biggest celebrity deaths out there.
The Princess Di was the one that I compared it to as well. The Roberto Clemente, I don't remember Roberto Clemente, but that's one of the biggest athlete deaths. He just had his 3,000th hit. I believe he finished with exactly 3,000 hits. He had so much left in his baseball career. The one for me, like, I grew up in the Hispanic community. I'm half Mexican, was Selena. When I remember where I was when Selena got shot, and my mom was a huge Selena fan, and whenever she passed away, I remember my mom crying about the death of Selena. So that's one that's really sticks with me, and I think that sticks with a lot of people in this community, so much of a Hispanic community in Houston. That's one that sticks out. Princess Di's one that sticks out. I think the ones that you mentioned are ones that stick out too, but I'll never forget where I was whenever I received the news of Kobe Bryant and eight others passing away in this helicopter crash yesterday in California. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. It's a weird way to kick off Super Bowl week. But Super Sunday is on Sunday. The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, to me, two of the better offensive minds in the NFL. A little old school with Andy Reid doing a little West Coast style. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Pat Mahomes. And on the other side, Mike, you have Kyle Shanahan, almost call him his father's name, Kyle Shanahan, who is also an offensive wizard, does a little bit more on the ground attack. But if you're a fan of offensive football, Sunday will be fun. I'm rooting for a close game.
Yeah, look, you always want a close game in the Super Bowl. I said earlier, I'm rooting for Andy Reid. I think he has a chance to really put a stamp on a Hall of Fame career with a Super Bowl victory. You can't help but like the jolly fella. You know, I think that one thing I didn't mention earlier was how Pat Mahomes and what's the quarterback that went that was there before Pat Mahomes?
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, Utah kid. Alex Smith, they remain really good friends, even though that Pat Mahomes was drafted when Alex Smith was there, upseeded him, and they ended up moving on from Alex Smith, although he was doing some pretty impressive things in that offense. And so the fact that they remain friends makes me like and root for Pat Mahomes even more than I already did. My heart is with KC, brother, but my mind's with San Francisco. I'm for whatever reason, great run game, great defense, defensive pass rush has speed in San Francisco. I think they're going to give Pat Mahomes fits. I mean, it's one of those that I would have a hard time. I want to see KC just score a boatload of points and run away with this thing, but I can't put my wallet where my heart's at, man.
I haven't seen some of the lines yet. I haven't taken a look at it. I think it was 1.5 last I looked for Kansas City.
Yeah, last time I looked at Kansas City, 1.5.
I'm interested in the over-under in this one because everybody thinks it's going to be a shootout between 54.5 is the over-under. I like the under on that. I see San Francisco being a little ball control. I think they have a good running attack. Kansas City doesn't defend the run that well. I see San Francisco trying to control the time
JB,
of possession.
The bad thing about the under is that's a hard watch.
It's a hard watch, you're right.
It's a hard watch, man. They go out there and throw up 28 in the first half, a little 14-14 halftime, and you want to feel good about a great team. And, man, you got a good party going around you. The Coors Lights are flowing, and you just won't be able to relax because there's 28 points thrown up in the first half, brother. And look, let's be honest. I mean, San Francisco's running the ball well, but
they're been chunking
them off. They can still score in a hurry. So the under in this game would be a tough bet for me to make.
Yeah, it's plus it makes it for not a very fun watch. I mean, nobody likes to root for no points being scored in a Super Bowl. We saw that with the Patriots and the Rams a couple of years ago. It didn't really make it for a very exciting Super Bowl. What's your favorite thing about Super Bowl week? Is it the football squares? Is it the Super Bowl party?
No,
is it media
party, baby?
The Super Bowl party?
You yeah, big? No doubt. Yeah, no, I mean, we don't ever do it real big. It's my same crew. But you like this weekend, you know, we're all getting together and on Saturday, and you got a Rockets game that day. I think the Rockets play. No, yeah, they
not idea. I one day at a time.
Maybe it was Friday
one
night.
Day at a time.
I don't remember. My parties all run together. But whatever it was a Rockets game, and it's just kind of like there's a lot of conversation around the game. Where when it's a Texans game or it's a Sunday football day, there's a lot of watching ball. I like to watch ball. I like to break a little bread in between, but I like to watch ball, and so. My crew, the bigger the game, the quieter they are, the more interested in the game they are. They will be locked and loaded on Sunday. So the party is what I'm looking forward to,
yeah,
no
you
doubt.
You got to have buffalo wings too at the party. You got to have the buffalo wings at the party. Like, that's an absolute must.
You know what's a lock at our parties?
Coors Light,
Boudin, and Coors Light.
Boudin, that's not a bad idea.
Boudin is a lock every time.
All right, it's gonna wrap it up for us. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks so much, Brian McDonald behind the glass, doing all the hard work. Want to thank all of our guests, Ronnie Brewer. We had Big Joe Klein, the Biggie, Elvin Hayes, for all of them. For Clint Sterner, I'm Jeremy Branham. We'll talk to you later, Houston.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.